Jake, I'm getting worried. My house hunt's taking longer than expected. We've made so many offers and keep losing out.
You could really use the JAG advantage.
What's the JAG advantage?
The Jim Allen Group, number one real estate team in the state since 1996, with the largest inventory of home sites in the Triangle, 11,000. And they rep more than 65 communities.
The Jim Allen Group? Oh, I get it. The JAG advantage.
Learn how you can score with the Jim Allen Group at thejagadvantage.com. Equal housing opportunity.
One constant feeling reigns over the 130-plus year history of NC State Wolfpack football. Hope. And when there's hope, well, Pack fans can always relate. Pack family, time for a true look at your team. Expert analysis, special guests, and a Carter Finley-sized bag full of X's and O's. Let's get hooked up for Pack Therapy. Here are your hosts, Tim Donnelly and Wolfpack great Mike Lennon.
Welcome back to another edition of the Pack Therapy Podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly, as always, joined by my co-host, former NC State quarterback Mike Lennon. And we're doubling up on our NC State quarterbacks today. This one active. Brennan Armstrong joining the show. Brennan, I like to throw a little intro out there for our guest. So I picked some of my favorite stats for you, and I thought we'd lead with that one. Most passing yards by a lefty in Atlantic Coast Conference history. The most prolific left-handed passer in ACC history. Seventh all-time in career plays in the ACC. You're on the leaderboard in the top 20 of completion percentage in ACC history. Currently at 60.9. And I thought this one was a good one to start with because, Mike, you're 60.4. So it's coming down to the wire on that one as far as highest completion percentage on the pod. And then, of course, you know, leader at most categories in UVA history before the transfer to NC State. And you're getting ready to start in the Pop-Tart Bowl against Kansas State, December 28th, 5:45 in Orlando. Brennan, thank you very much for taking the time.
I appreciate it. Tim, I think the only thing you left out is usually you say Wolfpack legend, Mike Lennon. And now we got the living legend, the grown-ass man himself, Brennan Armstrong, joining us. So thank you, Brennan.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on here.
I think the almost mandatory question for the next couple of weeks for any NC State player is like, what's your favorite Pop-Tart? We're going to avoid that one and go because Dave Doran was asked and he said, whatever you can wash down with bourbon. Obviously, yeah. You're of age, 24. If there's a win, do you think you and Coach can partake in the Pop-Tart chased by bourbon?
I mean, this being my last one, why not? Let's make it fun. So I probably join them. If they have another glass for me, I'll probably join them.
I hope so.
So, Brennan, I think we want to kick things off with, man, I just think what a season you've had, the emotional roller coaster that Tim and I can relate to, being both former quarterbacks, being quarterbacks that have been benched. I've been in your situation where you're a starter, you get benched, and then you end up playing again. And the thing that I took away from it most was, man, just how well you handled that situation, how you handled like a true pro. And the thing that stuck out to me, and when I knew you were going to play well when you got back in there, is you had a quote in the press, something along the lines of, you didn't care anymore. It was, you were going to go out there like you didn't care. And that's when I felt like I was at my best. Is I vividly remember I was playing for the Jaguars, and I thought my career was going to be like, this was my last shot. I had told myself, if I don't ever play the game again, I'm at peace with it. And I went on and played good. It was the most like freeing feeling. I was sitting in the locker room before the game. I'm like, I don't care. Like whatever happens, happens. And I feel like that's the way you played. Can you just go on about that? If that's kind of where your mindset was?
Yeah, exactly. Like it's a weird thing because you do care. But when you say it, when you repeatedly talk to yourself and just putting that I don't care mindset in your mind before you're out in the field, it, like you said, it frees you up. I cared so much about winning, so much about playing well. I think coming in, there was a lot of pressure. And then just throughout the season last year, then the build up, and then seeing how the first five games went this year with the offense, I'm just like, man, it was just beating me down. Like, it was just, that was not what I wanted it to be. And like you said, after getting benched, I really tried to take the time to work on that, like my mental. I think Coach Roper said it to us in the quarterback room. Your first thing to go is your mental, especially as a quarterback. Like, you're physically gifted. You're physically able to do it to anybody. But the first thing that goes to time is your mental, not being in the right headspace. And through that fire that I went through last year, and then this first five games, I just wasn't right. It just wasn't there. I wasn't enjoying it. And I cared so much, so it was beating me down. And I got to that point, like you said, like I worked on myself mentally, just getting to a right base to go out and perform and not care. Like, whatever happens, happens. The games are going to be ups and downs. There's going to be ups and downs. And I got to that space. And when I got my name called against Wake Forest, I was able to go out there and perform well. And the next two games after that, I just continued to remind myself, self-talk, that, man, whatever happens, happens. Like, you get another opportunity, obviously you want to make the best of it. And it wasn't so much in that big picture. It was super small in my mind. It was like, it wasn't about anything else. It was just about enjoying it, having fun, and not caring. That's what I kept telling myself. And just doing that, man, it helped me play so much better. Just, I think there was a lot of things that happened throughout that, but just personally, my mindset, I think that obviously helped play so much better.
You know, in Mike's question, he said you handled it like a true pro. I guess that's like the buttoned up podcast way to say grown ass man. You know, Aiden White said, how did you handle it? And, or the media asked, how did you handle it? And he said, like a grown ass man. You know, what does that look like? Like, how did you handle it away from the cameras? Obviously you said all the right things. You did all the right things. You were ready to play when your number was called, but behind closed doors, like how did you act so your teammates looked at you and said, that's a grown ass man right there?
I mean, behind my apartment door, it's tough. Like I deal with it. Like I come back home and it's hard on me. It wasn't easy. Obviously I have a great support system around me. That really just helped me get through it. But I also thought, I felt like I was always mentally tough and could get past, but I really hit rock bottom there. And so like behind this closed door, not even in front of my teammates, it was tough. Like I had to do a lot of things just to make sure I was right. So when I stepped out this door and I went to the facility and was around my teammates, I could handle it the best way possible and be a really good teammate. I would say, like you said, I tried to do everything the right way. I tried to be a great teammate. I felt like, I know Coach Dorn said this, and when we had an offensive meeting, I stepped up and I felt like it needed to be said that our team and our offense had to play for that quarterback, which was MJ at the time. Whoever was behind center needed to be played for. He needs to feel that as a quarterback. You want that feeling. And so I stepped up and said that and just put my head down and worked. I was obviously getting better, but we were still practicing. So when I was taking reps with the twos, I just tried my hardest to, like you said, I don't care framework in your mind and just go out there and have fun and enjoy. And I used to always tell myself, I think the big thing was for when I was not on the field, disengage. And when I was on the field, re-engage. And when I re-engaged, that focus that I had and that excitement and just clarity was so much better. I performed so much better. This was just in practice, taking reps with the twos. And then when I come off and the ones went back out, boom, disengage. Enjoy the time with the guys. Talk to them. Don't even think about the play. Like, I was obviously, you want to be locked in on what the play call is with the ones and understanding all that. But just that disengage to re-engage helped me just focus. And when my time was called, I was able to go out there and perform, and even in practice. So that was kind of a thing that I was trying to do. And then when my name got called for the ones, boom, I did the same exact thing. Re-engage, disengage. Bring focus, clarity, and good, you know, just energy to the huddle. So I think that was a big thing, let alone my mindset, you know, taking this time.
And enough with the rock bottom. It went from a low to a high pretty quickly. And, you know, it was, Peyton Wilson said, it was BS, you know, when you were getting booed, but it's part of what we sign up for. But then to see the fans go from that, and that's a very small percentage, but to the, you became a fan favorite. Like, everyone rallied around you. The team did, it felt like, and then the fan base did, which I thought was cool. Talk about what that was like to go from kind of the bottom of the valley to the peak of the mountain in a matter of weeks.
I never really said this to anybody, but in my mind, like, I always tell my, like, I saw this, I thought it was from, I think it was probably on, like, TikTok from me scrolling, right? And something was said, is like, this too shall pass. And like, whether if it was good or if it was bad, like, everything's going to pass. And like, I don't know, I just kept saying, like, to myself, even in those boos and whatever it was, and then being benched, like, that's like, this too shall pass. And like, that's kind of how I looked at it. I was like, I'm pretty low right now and it's fine. Like, it's going to go away and I'm going to get back to the top again, eventually, however, wherever that looks like, whether it was with football or something else. And, but yeah, like you said, I mean, it was low to high quick. I guess that's kind of how the sport is too sometimes. But I just kept running with it. I mean, it was really cool to see the rally behind that. I mean, I love the fans and it was great feeling finally have that behind you with fans supporting you. But I think it was really big with my teammates too. I think I really felt it for my teammates the most. Not that it wasn't there, but it was different. It was different this time. And I think it was just that grew, I think, with the bye week and how we approached coming off the bye week and how I handled the situation being benched. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great feeling. It really is. I think everybody can attest that when you have the support behind you, it's awesome. When you have your support of your teammates and support of the fan base, it's a great feeling to go out there and play. And like I said, it felt better, you know, and you step on the field, you could feel the energy, you could feel the support around you.
When we get another quarterback on, I like to nerd out a little bit. Obviously, you know, as we've gone over here a bunch and we're all aware of it, the mental side of the game, especially for a quarterback, is so important, but there also is like just the schematics of it. Right. And, you know, as simple as, you know, you were leading the team in rushing during your first bit as a starter, but it felt like a lot of it was improvised scrambles, maybe a little bit more intentional over the last couple of games where it seems like it's being designed more kind of from a schematic standpoint. Has the offense handled you and your ability, you know, in a drastically different, noticeably different way? Because we don't always know what the coaches are asking you to do on a play to play, even, you know, as much as we watch the film. What's the difference kind of in that aspect from the first five games as a starter to these last three when things have been going really well?
Oh, man, you know, this is the first year in the offense, and I think guys just grew with the offense. And then, you know, I think Coach and I and the offense staff and everyone involved with it really understood just what we needed to do to be successful. You know, Coach Dorn and our team meetings on a Tuesday morning before, you know, obviously going through our normal week of practice before leading up to a Saturday game, he laid it out. It's like, we protect the ball, we stay efficient on first and second down. We're going to be successful as an offense. You know, we have a great defense behind us, and the points are going to get put on the board if we can not turn the ball over and stay efficient on first and second down and get this third and goal every time. And that's obviously how every offense wants to be. But it was just it was so nailed into our head that this is, if we do this, we're going to be successful. And so we did, you know, they put a plan together and then we go out and execute, and we executed for those 3 weeks really well. And I think just also, like, Coach and I, like I said, the whole offensive staff, just putting together a game plan that gets obviously KC the ball. And then, you know, me dunking it off to some guys that they're going to get free access to, and then letting those guys get involved. And obviously my legs were a huge part of that too. And obviously having an extra blocker with our running back, if I'm running the ball, helped us. Misdirection, QB count the back. I think we just started really finding ourselves as an offense. And I think our coaches and players really bought into what we were trying to do, and we executed it at a high level. So I think that's obviously what everyone saw when it came to game day as an offense.
You mentioned Casey Concepcion. You've been around a lot of good receivers, some that are playing on Sundays now. How long did it take for you to realize this kid's special?
Not long. I knew he was pretty special. Like, leading
back
into
in the spring,
you could tell. And then, you know, you don't know what you're going to get on game day once that time comes. And he's just gotten better and better and better. And obviously the offensive staff is like, we need to get this ball to him more and more and more. And Nye's really good at that. Just bring him in the backfield, whatever way possible. So, he's had a special season. I'm really proud of him. Hopefully he continues to find that success and continues to grow as a person. And I think he's just going to have a really successful career here. And just overall, the offense in general, I think it was just a huge step. The growth that we had from everyone, it was it's kind of unheard of. And, you know, it's kind of why we put five games back to back in a row.
How different is that for you, though? I covered you pretty closely. I was in Virginia at the time when you were at UVA. And I thought your superpower was, you know, having four or five guys and it, you didn't force it to anybody, right? You had a whole bunch of guys, you know, 6,000, 8,000 yards receiving. Then to have a guy who the coaching staff saying like, hey, by any means necessary, we have to get Casey the ball. How is that different from the quarterback spot in two different places, two different offenses, but two different ideologies on how to get the ball to your guys?
Yeah, it's definitely different. Like you said, we spread one out. We had guys everywhere that we could kind of dink and dunk to, take some shots. When we had even a tight end when Jelani Woods, when he was there, like we had everyone. It didn't matter who the ball was going to. Here, a little different, but it's not. It's just I think every offense tries to do that. Your playmakers, how can we possibly get them the ball? And then just when there's normal just stuff called, just, you know, we're going through our progressions, picking best side, best look side, like easy things like that. I don't know. Is it much different? Maybe a little bit, because we were gunslinging the ball everywhere again at Virginia. And then here, obviously, we're trying to be more efficient. Like Virginia, we need points, and we need points now. So that I think that is just different ways to win games, I think, was the biggest difference in how we, you know, run our offense here compared to Virginia.
So the reason I chose William Peace was because of their stellar game design program. It's very rare to find a game design program in the United States at all, let alone North Carolina. And this place seemed like the right place for me for where I wanted to go and the connections I could make within the program.
Turn your hobby into a career in one of the highest paid professions in the country with William Peace University's simulation and game design program. Master design, 3D modeling, and programming in a state-of-the-art space with the latest and most remarkable technologies available. Find out more at peace.edu.
More great news for Cary commuters. With the new Go Cary app, you can track your bus live on the interactive map feature. Stay informed with the latest news and service updates right at your fingertips. Save your favorite locations and routes for quick and easy access, making your daily commute a breeze. Plus, with the Go Cary app, you can easily connect to GoCary.org for even more resources and information. Best of all, the Go Cary app is absolutely free to download on the Apple and Google Play stores. Go Cary, where getting there is just a tap away.
Yeah, it's funny looking back now that it's kind of come full circle. Everyone made such a big deal about you and Coach and I reuniting. But when I watched you guys this year compared to what you did at Virginia, I don't feel like there's actually that much overlap. what are we saying? 5-10% is probably the same?
Yeah, I mean, it's just different. Like, you guys played the position. It's just always different based on your personnel and based on your team and how you win games. Like, that's bottom line. You know, we're just talking about the offensive side, but you got to win the game. And it's just two different teams, right? And there isn't much. I mean, obviously, the route concepts and certain things do better here that we didn't do that well at Virginia, and certain things we did well there, we didn't do well, don't we do really well here, right? So that's just always the changing of the offense and trying to adapt to become better as the season goes, you know, goes on. And I think we did that. We did a really good job of doing that.
And I mean, you can just say, right, we didn't have a Peyton Wilson at Virginia, so we had to score a lot more points.
Peyton's a different animal. I'm glad I got to at least play with him for 1 year.
We kind of have a segment where it's like, you know, we have to acknowledge that he played really well, but there's nothing new to say. It's like all already been said. There it is. We acknowledge it. I guess I'll pose it this way. How ridiculous is it that he didn't walk away with the Nagurski Award the other night?
Yeah, that's pretty surprising. I mean, in my opinion, right, if you're getting that award, you should at least your position award. And it just – that doesn't add up to me. And that's bottom line. I mean, if you're in that one, you should be in your position one. Peyton was in it. Obviously, the other guy wasn't. You know, it is what it is. You know, we've already seen a few, you know, crazy things happen with committees and choosing whatnot. So it is what it is. I mean,
all right. I mean, if you're going to bring that up, I mean, why? How does it feel as an ACC? You know, we'll throw it out there. You're the best passing lefty in ACC history. How does it feel that the ACC undefeated champion is not in the college football playoff?
It's tough. That's tough. I mean, I just don't think you can fault a team for injuries throughout a season when obviously it's the game we play and we sign up for it. They've done everything right and they beat every team on their schedule. That's just, what's the point of going undefeated now if you don't get a chance to play in it, especially in a Power Five conference? I mean, you know, I get to the other things, and there's always discussions like what UCF was out there undefeated 1 year. That's tough. I don't know. Like, that's not my discussion. But a Power Five, I don't think that's too hard of a choice to make. I mean, it's not just the quarterback position. If I went down, I want my team to be in the championship game. They won those games, you know. So, it's tough. It's tough. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I think we all agree with you. And then I still wonder if Tate Roadmaker plays in that game, if it looks, you know, the appearance of it. They would have gotten in. You know, they're down to the. I feel like they were being evaluated based on their third string guy, not their second string guy. But yeah. Switching subjects here, I think you'll probably have a unique perspective on this because you probably have kind of seen this whole transfer portal. You've been around long enough where I don't even know if they had the transfer portal when you first got started, but you've seen NIL, you've seen the transfer portal. Take us through, like, I don't even know what it's like to be a high profile player like you were. Like, when do the coaches start calling you? Is it coaches? Is it – you hear about agents? You hear about – like, just what is it like to be a guy in the portal and that whole process?
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like this year was even crazier than last year. So my process was our season ended. You know, you decide you want to leave. You go into the portal. And for me, coming in January, short amount of time, I took three visits, Wisconsin, Oklahoma State, and here, and decided those were my three. I thought those were the three best options for me.
But are you getting reached out to before you even enter the portal? Like, is there whispers in your ear like, hey, these three schools might be interested in
you? Last year, I did not. Once I got in, I was – last year, I not. Nowadays, I have no – I mean, they could be reaching out, figuring stuff out, trying to get guys. It's basically free. I mean, it's basically free agency for college players now. Like, they can pick up and choose where they go with no cap space.
Being talked about in the locker room as the season's kind of getting towards the end? Like, hey, I heard so-and-so might be entering the portal.
There's whispers, right? There was even whispers last year when I was at Virginia and I was kind of like deciding what I wanted to do. And obviously for my sake, I kind of talked to the guys, and like if they came up and asked me, they kind of knew my decision, which our season ended at a very weird point last year with everything that happened. But that's why I tried to lay off it, you know, later on into December and let things kind of settle down with everything that happened. But most of the time after, like, our rival, once UNC was over, that's when it kind of picked up, and guys obviously figuring out what they got to do, what they want to do, and you started hearing things in the locker room. But I mean, I think that's everywhere. I don't think that's just specifically here at NC State. I think, you know, we're the same boat as any other team with guys leaving, guys trying to get guys from the portal to come in, all that. It's just harder for the coaches and everything to get things situated of who they need and what they need going into the next offseason. But
so once you're in the portal, are you hearing from, is it exclusively coaches? No coaches. Collectives are reaching out, none of that kind of thing? Yeah.
So my experience was coaches, and then the talk after, okay, is this a school I want to, you know, obviously go visit, could see myself at? Like, I didn't want to waste anybody's time, and I didn't want to waste my time because I didn't have that long. You know, I was coming in January. I need to figure out where I want to visit, what I want to see, who I want to talk to. And so that's kind of what I did. Talk to the coaches, and obviously the topic of NIL came up, right? It comes up, especially now. And that was talked about as being recruited to come here and play. I mean, in my circumstance, I was in when there was no money. I would have been in college, there was nothing happening, right? And I got to see the switch over, and I, you know, obviously got to experience the NIL part of it. But talk to the coaches, NILs discussed, understanding what's being asked for. But my main thought when I was in the portal was I just want to go to a team and play. I could be successful because I love the game of football, and this is what I want to do. The money is kind of us, but it's not the main reason. That's never how I looked at it. Now that could be very different. People probably see people going to the portal now and they're probably like, oh, that's probably for money. Like, I don't know, right? That's, you know, that's probably people's thoughts when they see things like that going to portal. But for me, different. Like, that's why I don't even know now. I think it's crazy now, crazier than when I even went in last year.
Is part of it, though, because you see this in the NFL, right? Sometimes the money represents, like, value, right? If they're not willing to, you know, ask for it or, you know, call in their collective or whatever, you're like, all right, how much do you really want me? Was there an element of, like, you know, I don't need the sun and the stars, but, you know, give me something here just so I know that you're invested like I'm invested?
That's kind of how it was for me. I personally didn't really, like, obviously that was a thought of my mind, but like I said, I was so focused on just trying to pick the right place that I could be successful at. Cause if I do that, everything else will handle itself. I don't need to worry about that, you know? And so that's just kind of how I looked at it. But yeah, I mean, if you look at it now, I feel like it's like, okay, how much are you investing in me? Now, like that's what a player kind of thinks about now. It's like the money that you're going to give to me is how much you're going to invest in me. It's really wild, man. It's really wild. I don't know because I'm not in it anymore. I'm kind of done. I'm kind of glad I'm kind of over
this. Well, that's why we can ask you these questions. And that's, you don't have to name names, but you hear these numbers being thrown out. I mean, Matt Rhule in Nebraska said good quarterbacks are going between like 1 and 2 million. And then you hear other people say, oh, that's not true. From talking with people, do you know if there are quarterbacks that are actually seeing seven figures hit their bank account?
I really don't know. I heard him say that too. I have no clue.
Yeah.
I have no clue.
And
for me, my perspective, towards it, you kind of heard of my, like how I went about the transfer portal and what I cared about. That's just crazy to me that people are like, I want this, I want that. Like, that kind of defeats, I don't know. Like, it's just more of like a me thing. And I just don't see that working out a lot at the end when it's just all about you, you know, with the team and all.
So I'm this is not a direct parallel from that answer to this next question, but it's just a, you know, so changing gears kind of. As somebody that's been through it all, right? You've lived a life in college football. And you're sharing a quarterback room with someone like MJ Morris making some tough decisions. Kind of what was your relationship with him like throughout this year as, you know, he made the decisions he made and you went through the situations you went through?
We always supported each other in the quarterback room. When I was playing and I came to play support, when I got benched, boom, I supported him. Like I said, Coach D's quote, I just tried to make sure, even if I'm not out there, I can support him because it's a tough job. It always will be a tough job. And I just wanted to make sure we were successful as a team. And moving forward with his decisions, I never asked him about it. It's not really my business. I think it's his personal choice. And while he was in that room leading up to NC or going out there and play, like in those quarterback meetings, we're just treating it like another day. You know, we're a family together in there. We support each other. And when he broke the news, like I said, I didn't ask nobody. It wasn't my business. When he broke the news, that was the news. And I just hope the best for him. I think he's going to be really successful. I think he's a great player. I really do. It's probably the best rooms I've been in. I just be successful in wherever he decides to go.
Yeah, you had to be a little curious, right? That never got to you?
Well, no, I knew there's so many things, right? That it's like, okay, so why do you do this? Why do you do that, right? Redshirting. Like, my job, when he decided to redshirt, my job was like, all right, it's time to go play. Here it is. Here's my other opportunity. So that wasn't even in my thought, like, of the decision of that. I'm like, all right, I just got benched, but now I get to go play again. I got to go play well. So that was all, that was kind of my thoughts the entire time. I got to go. We started off, you know, we beat Miami and Clemson. I was like, I got three more opportunities to go end this thing with a 5-game win streak. And we did that. And that's just kind of how I approached it when I got put back into that role.
Still have one game left. And although you were really only here for, I guess, 12 months, favorite moment at NC State, favorite thing about Raleigh, favorite thing about NC State?
I mean, I think when I look back on the season, right, you get this see it full, like you kind of say, full circle. Just I'm happy I went through what I did. And my favorite moment is just being able to come back out there against Wake. And then that just kind of leads into the next two games. Just, that's what you want as a player. You want to be successful. And I was at a really low point, and I battled through it, got through it, thought I handled it the best way I possibly could. And I don't think some of those traits about me could have been shown if I was just starting the whole year. And I think everything happens for a reason that's not in my control. Obviously, God has a plan for me, and I didn't know that that was going to be the part of it. And it was tough, really tough. But when I look back full circle and seeing how the season went, you know, I'm super proud of myself, of how I handled it all, and then super proud of just, you know, going back out there and playing like I feel like I can play, and all right, and just have support.
Last one before we let you go, and I feel like we, you know, we are a football podcast, so we should, I don't know, do one real question about the Pop-Tarts Bowl. 10-win season on the line, Kansas State. How's the prep going, and what do you have in store for the now, what is it, quarterback-less, because they hit the portal, offensive coordinator-less Kansas State squad?
I mean, from what I know, they play the same defense as our defense does, basically. We went through it. We faced that, you know, so much of the offseason. So, I mean, like I said, I keep it super simple for me. I want to go in there, get ready for the game plan, understand what we're trying to do. We get our game plan. We get our plays. We see what we're about to do, what we're trying to do, and just take it and treat it like a normal week. Obviously, we're going to be in Orlando and have events, and I get all that. But and just going out there with a simple mindset of, you know, who cares? I know it sounds crazy to say that, but who cares? And we're just going to go out there and play some ball. And like you said, 10-win season, it's a huge thing for this team and this program. So, I mean, I'm really looking forward to trying to staple this in the season, you know, in such an amazing way, especially for it being my last game. So I'm just looking forward to it. You know, going to enjoy the moment, going to enjoy Orlando, enjoy the team, enjoy the events. But it's game time. I'm just going to go out there and keep it simple and not care so much.
Yeah, I love it. It is a weird thing to say, but you said exactly right. It's like I care so much that I just don't even need to care. And I used to think, like, is that the mindset Kobe Bryant has? Probably not, but it works for me, so I'm just going to go with it.
That's what I'm saying. It's weird. It works for me. It works for me. It keeps me in a great space. It keeps me ready to go. So.
I think for all of NC State fans, man, I don't know if I've ever pulled for a player as hard as I did for you that last little bit. It was awesome to watch the way you played the game, the toughness, the leadership. It's been fun to watch you for this past season, and hopefully, you know, watch you on Sundays next year.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill. The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th and do our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food. We're doing some giveaways. We have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.